Good morning and welcome to this hour of worship coming to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Today is the 25th Sunday after Pentecost. Pastor Alan Mueller has chosen for his sermon topic, The Great Priest, based on Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 through 25. And congratulations to Alan and Sandy Bamer as they celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary on November 13th. We thank them for sponsoring our radio broadcast this morning in honor of their 50th anniversary. Mrs. Judy Tufo will be at the piano this morning, and your announcer is Ron Meyer.
Good morning. It's great to be with you all here on this beautiful morning. It's great that we can be here to draw near unto our Lord and Savior, for it is God who has invited us here, and we are his gathered guests this morning. God has brought us here, and it is here that he pours out his graces and his mercies upon us. May we sing our first hymn with thanksgiving, hymn number 563. Would you please stand as you're able? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Beloved in the Lord, upon your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, by your bountiful goodness, release us from the bonds of our sins, which by reason of our weakness we have brought upon ourselves, that we may stand firm until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's Word. Our Old Testament reading for this 25th Sunday after Pentecost comes from the book of Daniel, chapter 12. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. For after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds," then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter. Glory be to you, O Lord. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished?" And Jesus began to say to them, "See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are but the beginning of the birth pains. But be on your guard, for they will deliver you over to councils. And you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them. And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. And when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. And brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. And at this time, I invite the children forward for a children's message.
Thank you.
good morning. Thank you for joining me up here today. I have a question for all of you. Do you know what a yearbook is? Do you know what a yearbook is? What is it? Oh, okay. Okay, so that's a different kind of yearbook. So I'm thinking of a yearbook that you might get at school. A yearbook is something that everyone, all of your classmates, all of your friends, and all of your teachers, they get their pictures taken. And then at the end of the year, this book comes out, and it has, again, all of your friends in it, and you get to look back upon the year and see all of your friends. Well, I got my hands on a yearbook from 1978. This yearbook belongs to our elder, Tim Shelp, who is not with us today, but he let me borrow this. And in fact, Tim, we can find Tim. He's just on the first page. Somewhere, where is he? Right here. That's Tim. You can hardly recognize him, can't you? This was way back when he was in high school, and he's got some gnarly hair. He's but that's Tim. But it's always fun to look back at all of these photos. It's fun to be included in these books. And Tim's not the only one, of course. We have all of his friends right here. We have some of his teachers and all of these people. We like to be included in these sorts of books, don't we? But did you know that God himself has a book? In our Old Testament reading this morning, we are told that God has a book in heaven, and it includes the names and the people of all of his children. And when we are baptized, when we come to believe in Christ, when we believe in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, God writes our name. He includes us in his own book. And that's a book that we can participate in. It's a book that if you're found within it, you have life everlasting. You have all of the promises of God, and all of his blessings become yours. He promises to care for you and to provide for you and just take care of you in all of your needs. Would you please join me in a word of prayer? Dear Jesus, we thank you that you have written our name in your precious book, your book of life. We ask that we can go forth in joy, that we can thank you for the life that you have given us. Strengthen us in our faith until you call us home. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you so much. You can go back to your seat, grab a piece of candy. In the congregation, we are going to sing our next hymn. Well, dear friends, here we are again. For many of us, it must feel like we're here for maybe the 100th Sunday in a row, never missing a church service. Many of us would prove so faithful in that church attendance. We come so regularly, and even on the rare occasion, if we do happen to miss, we often try to at least find some sort of alternative. We might try to attend a church service online or on the radio. And for others among us, perhaps we don't make it every week, but at least we're here today. And that's absolutely wonderful. We might not be entirely in the habit of coming every single week. Sunday mornings might be a hit or miss, depending on what else might come up. But at least we're here today, right? At least we've come, and at least we're here this morning in this blessed place. And we are all here together. But why? Why do we have the habit of meeting here Sunday after Sunday? And what exactly are we doing here? What's the purpose of coming to church Sunday after Sunday? Well, over the years, there's been a countless number of ways that people have sought to answer that very question, why go to church? And dear friends, this is certainly an all-important question for us. Because if you answer it wrongly, you may indeed strip church of all of its unique value and benefits. Answer it wrongly, and you may accidentally give yourself an excuse to skip church and to start doing your own things on Sunday morning. Answer the question wrongly, and you might give excuse for a Christian to go off by him or herself Sunday after Sunday just to go fishing. For example, if you say that you go to church simply to learn, can a Christian not do the exact same thing off by himself? Could he not wander off alone by himself with a Bible in hand? If the main purpose of going to church is simply to learn, then could a Christian not go alone on a boat and read about God's word in isolation? Well, surely the purpose of going to church is far more important than simply to learn about God. Even though learning about God and the Lord is indeed a wonderful thing within itself, but obtaining head knowledge is not the purpose of why we are here this morning. And that is not supposed to be what is to drive us here week after week. In fact, even our own actions will testify to that very truth. For if the purpose of a church was simply to learn, then one could argue that a pastor would have no need to visit shut-ins. If learning was our sole objective, there would be no need to visit the homebound. If learning was our purpose for going to church, then shut-ins would have all that they need from the radio or some other live-streamed services. But the very fact that pastors do visit shut-ins suggests that by their absence, they are missing something. There is something they lack by not being with us this morning. Not being able to be with us in corporate worship and in this community. There is indeed something that they're missing. And pastors seek to visit the homebound because there is something vital that they miss in their spiritual walk. Because at church, there is indeed something uniquely beneficial. And going to church, coming here on Sunday, has benefits that you cannot find elsewhere out in the world. Our epistle reading from Hebrews this morning puts before us two benefits of coming to church. We're given two reasons that are virtually unique in why it is that we gather here on Sunday mornings. As verse 22 tells us, we are to draw near to God with a true heart, with full assurance of faith, and with evil consciences washed clean with pure water. The reason why we're here this morning, and the reason why we go to church, is because God Himself is here. We are invited to draw near as God is performing a mighty work. Surely God is here doing a gracious and powerful work in our midst together. For as we gather, He is here forgiving sins and making sinners whole. He's comforting the brokenhearted, giving peace to the restless. He's calming anxious spirits and consoling those who are stricken with guilt. The Lord is here covering the shamed with love and forgiveness. Dear friends, the Lord has invited us to draw near and to participate in this most gracious work. For that is why we're here. For He has invited us to receive the benefits of that precious work. Because any time that we draw near and gather together, we are the Lord's guests and invited to receive the bountiful grace of God. If we think back to the Israelites when they were slaves in Egypt, we remember as God called them out of the land. The Lord God called Israel out of Egypt to draw them near to Himself. He brings the entire nation and all of His chosen people, commanding Pharaoh and saying, "Let my people go that they may worship me." In a similar way, we can think about why it is that we come to church. We come for such similar reasons: to draw near, to find relief and healing. We come to receive freedom in the Lord, and we draw near in order to worship God. And I mean worship in its most proper and biblical sense. For dear friends, there is no better way to worship God. There's no better way to glorify Him. No better way to lift up the Lord's name on high. And there's no better way to worship God or do any of these things than by simply receiving God's grace. For we glorify God the most when we put His glory and grace on display. We glorify God the most when we are passive recipients and we let God pour out His loving kindness upon us. We glorify God when we become trophies of His compassion, and every believer becomes a trophy of God's power, of His grace, and of His mercy. It's as if at church, receiving God's gifts, we become as living monuments, displaying always the wonders of God's love. And by drawing near, by coming to church, and by receiving those promises, we glorify Him. Truly, that is why we are here this morning. To receive the gifts, receive the free graces. God is doing a mighty work, saving sinners and forgiving us of our trespasses. There's no better reason to come to church than to receive the gifts that God has won for us on the cross. As verses 19 and 20 say, Jesus has opened the way. We gather here because the high priest has made a way for us to enter into the holy places of God. We can come boldly into His presence. For verse 12 says that Christ has offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins. Unlike the blood of bulls and goats, the blood of the Son of God is of infinite worth. The blood of Jesus stands as a perpetual offering, paying our debts of sin and failure. The whip that ought to have fallen upon us has rather fallen upon Christ himself. The wounds that ought to have pierced us through in body and soul has rather been inflicted upon the Lord's anointed. And the bitter cries that ought to have been poured forth from our own souls were cried out by Christ himself, saying, "My God, my God." Jesus pays our punishment. He takes our sin, and by his wounds we are healed. The great high priest, in sacrificing himself, has won for us forgiveness, mercy, and the favor of the Lord. And again, dear friends, we come to receive those blessings and promises. For he who promises is faithful. He will not lie nor hold back his promises, but rather he shall fulfill all that he has set out to accomplish. For no other reason has God himself then established the pastoral office. He has divinely called people to be his spokesman and to bear witness to this truth. He has called pastors to serve here before us in order to announce his own graces and gifts for you. The Lord has set up a representative to speak on his behalf, saying, "For it is by the Lord's command by which I say, by the command and as a called ordained servant and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sins." At that very moment, and before the eyes of everyone who is gathered here, we see this truth come to us. As one commanded by God to say it, we can be as certain of its truthfulness as if God himself would have spoken from heaven himself. For the pastor does nothing but proclaim the same truth that God himself has already established. God is here forgiving sins. He comes to us regularly in his body and blood in the Lord's Supper. He comes strengthening faith, forgiving sins, and leading us onward with spiritual strength and into holy living. Such is the benefit of drawing near week after week, receiving the grace of God. And lastly, and briefly, the second reason our passage gives for us to go to church is found in verse 24. He says, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, but encouraging one another." That we are ultimately here to receive the bountiful gifts of God. Hebrews gives us the second reason, to stir up one another to love and good works, to encourage one another. We see here that Christians are saved into a community. We are not saved to live isolated and alone. There is a single body of Christ. There is a single temple of living stones. There is one communion of saints. There is a holy community. We are saved into Christ and into his church. We are brought in to be the bride of Christ. May we not think that our Christian walk is between us alone and God, but rather we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses. We are surrounded by brothers and sisters in the faith. Surely we are called to build one another up. And what a blessed reason this is to come to church, that we may lean upon one another and build each other up. I love coming in early on Sunday mornings and seeing the men visiting together downstairs. Starting from around 8 o'clock, they always begin their fellowship. And I admit that I don't always know what it is they're discussing, but how it would lift my spirits to hear them building one another up. sharing with one another their trials and their difficulties, asking one another about how they can pray for each other, and how I love to see people sticking around after service, catching up with their neighbor. And instead of darting out the doors, they come together as brothers and sisters in the Lord. And how I wish I could myself hear such holy conversations take place. For we are one in the Spirit, and we are one in the Lord, and in mutual love we build each other up. That is why we are here. Dear friends, if we are fulfilling our calling, what a beautiful blessing it is that we gather together for this mutual support and love. If we are fulfilling our calling, there is no substitute for this blessed gift. For the world cannot care for our own souls as the way of our brothers and sisters can in the faith. So may we go forth to support one another, and may we receive the Lord's gifts as he freely bestows his grace and mercy upon us and upon all who hear his word and call upon him in faith. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We sing our next hymn, number 566. At this time, we worship God with our offerings. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you praise this morning as you have brought us here into your presence. You have invited us to draw near, and you have gathered us together because you are doing a gracious and holy work. You are a faithful and trustworthy God, and you have promised to be with us. We thank you for being here, forgiving sins, making yourself known, and strengthening us on our walk to everlasting life. Continue to gather us before you so that we may always enjoy the riches of your grace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And God of grace, all that you do is perfect and good. As often as we come before you and as often as we call out to you, you keep your promises towards us to love and provide. We ask that you would help us to rest in your word of promise and lead us to cling to it as our source of life, joy, and peace. As we come before you, stir our hearts and minds to a greater longing for you. And as we call upon you, continue to calm our anxious hearts, give us peace during trials, and remove our guilt and shame from us. Help us to cling to Christ alone, who has suffered all in our place, so that we may be the beneficiaries of your grace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And holy God, you are the Lord of the saints. You are the Father of your people, and you have adopted us into the one holy family of God. Together as your people, bring us closer to one another, and help us to see all who gather here in your name as brothers and sisters in the faith. By your Spirit, stir our hearts to love those among us. Help us to support one another in words and actions. Be in our conversations that they may be used to build each other up. Give us strength to control our tongues and rather to speak words of comfort, love, and support to all who are with us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And mighty God, you are the strong fortress and mighty deliverer. We thank you for working through the lives of our military personnel, for all the veterans. We thank you for leading them to serve so sacrificially as they continue to provide us with protection. We thank you for those who currently serve and for those who have finished their service. Be with all veterans to grant them peace. Be with all first responders and all who serve our communities. And lead us all of us, to thank you, recognizing and knowing that all things are working according to your good and perfect plan. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of life and God of healing, we thank you. We come before you with thanksgiving for the newborn daughter that you have given to Cole and Allison Noland. We thank you for the healthy delivery this last Thursday of baby Josie Noland. And we ask that you would continue to be with child and parents, especially give rest to the parents, and continue to look after and provide for Josie. Be with the parents to celebrate with thanksgiving the wonderful gift that you have brought to them. And also, we thank you for the 50th anniversary of Sandy and Alan. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful many years of happy marriage, and we ask that you continue to bless them also, be with them, and help their marriage to be a light and a testimony to your design for creation. And great physician, we also lift before you all who are struggling and hurting this morning. You know the needs of all your children. Be with them to provide and strengthen. And we especially lift before you Bob Eichels, who is in the hospital. Be with Bob and Janet at this time, that they may turn their eyes towards you and find true joy and peace. For all who are hurting in mind, body, and spirit, be with them to strengthen and provide. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Would you receive the blessing of our Lord? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for our departing hymn.